Monday, December 27th, episode 145 of The Hezzy. It's brought to you by basketballgods.net. Christmas Day games. A lot of dudes out, man. A lot of dudes out. I mean, we know why the NBA isn't suspending the season or didn't call off the Christmas Day games, because cream, right? Cash rules everything around me. And that stands for every big company and business around the league, whether it's sports or not. So it is what it is. But just a lot of names missing off of the marquee there for the Christmas Day games. Started off with Knicks and Hawks. I was a little confused with the garden floor because it was like the Hawks colors. It was black and orange. It was a little confusing out there. Knicks jumped all over the Hawks with a bunch of three balls. Obi Toppin with the East Bay Funk dunk on the break. It's crazy how the level of athletes have changed. As you're living it, it's not as drastic, right? But then you go back and you look, like my daughter and I were watching the Tom Brady special on ESPN, right? Man in the Arena. And they're showing 2001, right? It's like 20 years ago. She's like, oh, they're slow. The football players, they look real slow, right? It's just a 20-year gap. But the level in athleticism in these sports every, 10, 15, 20 years, it's kind of startling. It was dope to see the eighth grader out there, Lance Stephenson for the Hawks. He didn't do much, but listen, man, all these teams have to bring up these 10-day exemptions for if you have two players in protocol, you got to call a 10-dayer up, regardless of what your roster looks like. I just find it interesting that everybody is sniffing around, young guys. Some guys are being called up that you never heard of. If you're looking for a bucket, I mean, Lance, make them dance, right? So I just, I'm glad to see him back in the league. Hopefully he can keep the off-court stuff under control and just hoop. But you saw, Fournier going off. Kemba, did he have another triple-double? That's been a story the last week that I haven't really touched on, is Kemba Walker's resurgence. The Knicks really were forced to put him back in the rotation because of everybody that's out, and he's been lighting it up. And look, man, by all accounts, Kemba Walker is one of the best dudes in the league as far as character goes. Everybody loves Kemba. Infectious smile, great teammate. When Tibbs benched him, he handled it very well, right? It's not sustainable. The thing is, he sat out for like a month. The issue is his knees. 2 weeks from now, he's going to look like Kenny Smith out there. I think that he needs to be load managed. Clearly, he still has the skill to impact the game. Just load manage. You look at what the Warriors are doing with Iguodala, Otto Porter. You got to load manage him. And the problem is you're dealing with the coach in Tom Thibodeau who doesn't believe in load management. So that's maybe where there's a clash. Because if you give him, keep him under 20, he never plays back-to-backs, right? Then maybe this is more sustainable. But if you're going to roll him out there for 36 minutes a game, again, you're going to have that Kenny Smith knock knee in about a week. Knicks take care of Atlanta. No Trae Young for the Hawks. Very inefficient night from Cam Reddish, who reportedly is on the trade block. Look, I'm interested. I'm a Cam Reddish believer. He's not helping his stock of late, though. He's been very inefficient. Then you move over to Celtics-Bucks, and it was the Celtics that jumped all over this Bucks team. But let's face it, man, they're not the same team. They're not. Lopez was more important than maybe people realized. And Bucks fans, I'm probably not telling you anything. I'm not talking about the hardcore Bucks fans, but the casual NBA fan, you felt like, all right, Lopez, especially when his three-point shooting fell off the map a season ago. He does a lot of other things, just being in the right spot, his size, his rim protection, the way the team is constructed. DiVincenzo, is he still out? So I guess they have some things. Drew Holiday doesn't look the same to me, but Boston jumps all over him. You got Jabari Parker out there playing for the Celtics. Boy, he went from looking like he was 25 to 35 real quick. Bro look old. But he was getting some buckets, hit some corner threes. He can at least space the floor. I'm listening to Bud. You know how they do the mic'd up going into the fourth quarter. He has to be the least inspiring professional coach I've ever heard. It's not just that he's monotone. A lot of coaches are monotone. It's his cadence. It's almost as if he doesn't really want to be there. He doesn't believe, he doesn't want to do it. Bud always looks like he just is arriving at a dinner party with the worst gas of his life. And he knows it's about to just be humiliating. There's this like constant look of worry in his cadence. It's just, I don't know, man. I don't know how, it's a credit to the Bucks and Giannis and their leadership. And also, he has to be a great X's and O's coach. He has to have other great qualities to overcome that lack of charisma. Sheesh. Bucks pull away. You're watching Tatum try to force feed the ball to Jaylen Brown on the high elbow, and everything is so stagnant. They're all standing still, all five of them, and it's just not a strong entry pass. It's a turnover. And then you saw the final play where Tatum, he has a two-on-one essentially with Giannis at the rim, a breakdown, and he needed to jump there, right? He thought he was going to get Giannis to commit, and he tried to dump it off to Robert Williams, but Giannis never left his feet, turns, and roofs Robert Williams for the win. Tatum, he needed to elevate and then dish it. And it's just another example of his lack of playmaking. And I'm tired of Celtic fans really kind of defending this dude. Like, look, he's good. He's cool. He's an all-star. But let's stop pretending he's the one. Let's stop pretending Jason Tatum's got next. Oh, he's so young. Nah, man, we've seen enough. We've seen enough. He doesn't have that it factor, that juice. He ain't got it. Speaking of it factor and juice, Giannis, once again, showing that his motor and his body are really what make him special, right? In his competitive spirit. He misses 2 weeks in COVID protocol. He comes out like that, like he hadn't missed a beat. Clearly, he was asymptomatic and he was, I don't know, running laps somewhere because he wasn't at all out of shape or anything. Freakish shit from Giannis. All right, let's talk about it. Otto Porter Jr. That's my guy, man. That's my guy. I was getting ready to do a video on this, but here's the perfect time, man. The Warriors with the statement win. Two statement wins, really. You know, Memphis, we had a little something for them as well. Despite what LeBron would have you believe, the Warriors are not at full strength. I don't know if you've noticed, but they're not at full strength. And, yeah, man, it's a heck of a Christmas gift from the Warriors, man. And we've been talking about it in the breakdowns on Patreon for a while here. Look, everybody can see how automatic Otto has been shooting the three ball, especially in those corners, right? And the thing is, his size and his quick release, he can get it off even against connected defenses, right? When there's a strong contest and they're rotating out to the weak side, it doesn't matter at that size. He's getting it off splash. And so that's been the obvious. But what we've been talking about is the dirty work that he's been doing. The blocks, the offensive rebounds, the deflections. There are two or three times a game where he makes a no stat play. Where it doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but he boxes somebody out. He puts a body on somebody. He's there. He's in a spot to make a play, make a winning play. And it's just been, he's exceeded all expectations, I think, maybe even for himself. No, he seems like a confident brother. And that's what you saw in that fourth quarter against the Suns, the takeover, man. And I won't lie to you, the health seems precarious, right? You see him get up and down the court and you're like, eh. But he has the confidence of one time being the third pick in the draft. Now, I know what y'all are thinking. How do we bring Otto Porter back? He is on a veteran minimum deal. Do we get a restoration discount for reviving his career? Like he is load managing, right? For the first time in his career, I think he's on a team that's prioritizing his health. And part of that has been the stigma of his contract and expectations. Everywhere else he's been on this big contract. He's been this big deal. And I think there's been a lot more pressure and expectations to lace him up every game and get out there. You're a big money player. You're a star. You got to do it. And the Warriors have treated the situation differently. So I don't know how much he values that, right? But look, if he's going to continue to play this way through a deep playoff run, someone's going to throw eight digits at him. And so I don't know how the Warriors combat that. I guess let's just enjoy it while it lasts, right? Let's enjoy the moment, man, because again, I was just like, Otto Porter Jr. We're going to make that a thing, Dub Nation, right? And it's the El Chapo, right? The El Chapo 2 Chainz. Otto Porter Jr. Otto Porter Jr. The team loves him. Look, he's only 28 years old. If I don't want to get too far ahead here, but, you know, he wins a chip. Is this finally home for him? I don't know, man. I don't know. I just want to enjoy it while it lasts. Couple of other thoughts about the game. This kid, Weatherspoon, I'm not even going to try and say his first name. It's Quindarius or something like that. Something crazy. But I think it's pretty clear he needs to take Chioza's spot. Took about 90 seconds of him on the floor to figure out, oh, he's a dog. He's a dog. He was body to body, chest to chest with CP, Book, whoever. Wasn't afraid of the moment, right? And then he already knows the system because he came from Santa Cruz. I guess he's been the dude that's been guarding Clay in his rehab, and that's where Clay's been impressed with him. And so, you know, enough is enough. Enough is enough. The stakes have risen for this team this year. It's championship or bust. I was asking some patrons and fans, and I think we all agree. The way they look now, it's chip or bust. The expectations is they win it. So there's no time to develop little Chioza and hope, hey, man, maybe he can figure this out and he's got the potential. No. This Witherspoon dude is built like a truck, and he has a defined NBA skill. He's a dog. He's a lockdown guy. I don't know how that two-way stuff, maybe Warriors Reddit can at me here on Twitter or give us just some information. You don't got to at me on the two-way deal. Is it possible for you capologists and people that, you know that stuff, run the numbers, to switch out Chioza for this Witherspoon dude the rest of the year? We've already talked about we don't need Chioza's ball handling, right? And this dude, you saw him shut down Book late in the game, clamped him up in, right in his spot on the mid post. And so, yeah, it's not like he's going to be some star player, but he has value, especially when you consider the volatility of rosters this season, right? And you see Draymond has now entered COVID protocol after the Suns game Christmas Day. So we're down bad, man. And you got to see Denver twice this week. But that's the thing. The Warriors, you look at the Memphis win, you look at the Phoenix win. We've had a couple wins here in the last 10 days that we probably shouldn't have won. There were losses on paper. And it allows the Warriors to lose. You could lose three or four, right? It hit bad with the protocol this next 10 days. We can afford to lose three, four games in a row, and we still going to be straight. They've earned that with the record that they've got thus far. Real quick on Kuminga. Big minutes for Kuminga. You saw him on Chris Paul hit a three. You saw that drive baseline in the fourth quarter, right? Looking like Jordan, the up and under move. And, you know, you don't usually see a player with his size and strength have the hover bounce. And what I mean by the hover bounce is that type of bounce where it seems like you just hang in the air a little long, like you hover. There's extra air time. Jordan had it, obviously, right? Vince Carter had it. Zach LaVine has it, Jones Jr. And Kuminga, you know, he has that. At his frame, it's a little uncanny. It's usually reserved for a little smaller a guy, right? But Kuminga seems to have all the physical attributes. Strength, bounce, speed, quickness, length, size. And you put it in this Warriors environment, and I don't know how you can't be excited about it. As for the Suns, look, I've lived out in the Phoenix area for almost 20 years now, almost half my life. I moved out here at 19 years old. Y'all looking funny in the light, Suns fans. Y'all looking funny in the light, talking about, well, we didn't have Frank Kaminsky or Dario Saric. Listen, take that beating like a man, Suns fans. But any reasonable fan has to acknowledge that was a concerning loss. You're at full strength. I don't want to hear about the end of your bench, guys. And then you consider that the Warriors are going to get significantly deeper and more dynamic, adding Klay, Wiseman. We didn't have Poole. We didn't have I mean, I could go on and on, right? It was a concerning loss. And here's what happened. You had champions step into your building Christmas Day, and you got big broed. That's just the facts. Look, Suns, Chris Paul, Booker, you guys have tasted the big stage. You've tasted the big stage. I get that. But you smell that? That's what champions smell like. That's what you smelled Christmas Day. Otto Porter Jr. Otto Porter Jr. The next champ. Now I'm getting carried away. I'm getting carried away here. I had to talk my shit, Suns fans, because y'all are acting. Just stop copping, please. Y'all took a bad L. That's what it is. It happens, right? Look, I'm not even a Suns hater. If you've watched my channel and my content, I was big up in them, rooting for them all last season to get it done, man. I'm not a hater, but I got to call it how I see it. And I've long supported Devin Booker. I'm a Book fan. And I've also made the statement that give me Devin Booker over Donovan Mitchell. I've said that for a couple years as they've both ascended into superstardom. I've got to reevaluate that from this season here, because the separator with Donovan Mitchell is his range. Donovan Mitchell now has deep, deep range on the three ball, and his willingness and ability to come off and pull up for threes off screens, because it changes the geometry and the gravity, the spacing on the floor. And I'm not saying that Devin Booker isn't capable of doing that. He doesn't do it, though. If you watch, like 90% of his stuff is inside the arc. He'll shoot the weak side three when he has to, or a pull up one every now and then, but he doesn't really shoot off screens, off high ball screens and three balls, and it's limiting. And so right now, currently today, with the growth that Donovan Mitchell keeps showing each season, I think I got to put him a little notch above Booker right now. because he just keeps getting better. He's not as big as Book, but he's a better athlete. You could argue he's a little more dynamic finishing now. He's been much better finishing. So anyway, maybe we'll have a deeper dive on that conversation at a certain point. But I just noticed late in that game, you know, when it helped the Warriors defense knowing that Booker was trying to get inside the three-point line. I also thought, if you're looking as far as strategy goes for Phoenix, I thought they neglected Ayton and McGee. You looked at the stylistic matchup, that's where they could have won the game. If they force-fed Ayton more and utilized McGee in that size more, I think it would have been a lot more difficult for the Warriors to pull off what they did. Then you had Lakers, Nets, Patty Mills going nuts, Harden back. I was thinking, too, I was like, yo, I mean, Harden, he was out with protocol, right? But it's not like he was out of shape because he ain't ever in shape. He didn't miss a beat, right? He don't play in shape anyway. It wasn't none to him, so he looked good. Listen, if I'm the Lakers, I bench Russell Westbrook. People keep talking about a trade. Look, there's no one's going to trade for Russ. It doesn't make sense anywhere. It's not happening. And so I think you've got to bench him and see if Horton Tucker can do better. I'm not saying he can, but I feel like that's like the only option is take him off the floor, remove him out of the situation for a couple games and see what some of these other guys can do in a bigger role because it's just not working, right? You're not going to be able to trade him. And then you bring him back strictly as a bench player. You put him with Malik Monk, you put him with Dwight Howard, and you let them run up and down the floor. Yeah, I think if you're the Lakers, I say this saying that I understand they're not going to do this, but I would try to make two separate units. Right, you have your first unit and your second unit, and your second unit is your speed and pace unit with Russ. The few guys that are willing to run the floor, you put them out there, and then you have a first unit. Trying to blend Russ with LeBron, I think we've seen enough now. It ain't going to work. Last night, the Kings took a beatdown from the Memphis Grizzlies at home. I want you all to take a listen to Alvin Gentry postgame.
It's the most disappointed I've been in 34 years in the NBA. I can honestly say that performance was absolutely ridiculous. You know, we didn't play hard, we didn't compete. We gave up 19 offensive rebounds for, I don't know, 37 points or some astronomical figure. We didn't guard the ball, we didn't guard screening rolls, we didn't follow the game plan, you know, all of those things. And to be honest with you, it's the most disappointing game that I've been involved with. You know, no competitiveness whatsoever. And then we got those guys out there talking about, you know, when you have, yeah. Just go ahead and ask questions. That's fine, because I don't want to get into it anymore. I think anybody out there that watched the game understand that performance right there was absolutely, it was just ridiculous. I don't know any other words to use because we didn't compete and we didn't do anything. We didn't move the basketball. We didn't attack them. We didn't stop their drives. We didn't stop their screen and rolls. We went over a couple of simple plays today and we didn't guard them at all. So yeah, I'm totally disappointed and everybody in this building should be disappointed.
I love it, man. I love it. Keep it trill, Al. I was like, I'm too old for this shit. I ain't gonna bullshit you. I ain't here to pat these young dudes' egos. You could tell he's done. He might just walk off the premises. He done with the Kings, man. And so, yeah, man. I want you to go over to basketballgods.net and check out my guy Stevie. He has two videos really that pertain to this subject. One specifically on trading De'Aaron Fox. The other one is kind of the ideology of team building, right? And when do you tear it down? How do you become a contender? Some interesting stuff from my guy, Stevie. So go check that out over at basketballgods.net. We have more content, more podcasts on deck. Finishing up, two big names on the shelf, man. Two big names. Derrick Rose, ankle surgery, 6 to 8 weeks. D Rose is so resilient. You know he'll be back, but you know, one thing people don't understand about the ankles is it affects your shot. If you lose the mobility in your ankles, you don't always have the ability to get up on your toes like you like to within your shot. So prayers out to D. Rose. Hopefully, you know, again, he's so resilient, he'll bounce back, but that's a blow for the Knicks. They've been relying on him probably too much, right? And then Paul George, right elbow surgery? That's strange. Paul George has had some, remember he had the two shoulder surgeries? Now his shooting arm elbow? That's spooky, man. They said 4 weeks to reevaluate that. I can't recall someone having elbow surgery, so I can't really speak on that, but it doesn't sound great on his shooting arm. Hopefully the NBA can get some sort of herd immunity here at some point, because the list of protocols just nuts. You look at the games tonight and it's not even who's playing, it's who's playing within the games that you got to check. Tatum's entered it again, Draymond. So hopefully here, what are we, December 27th? Hopefully by, I don't know, January 10th, we can start seeing these rosters whole again. Anyway, I hope you all had a Merry Christmas. This is the Hezzy, brought to you by basketballgods.net. I'm out, y'all.